ये तो जहां से चाहे वहां से काबे में जा सकते हैं। ये तो जहां से चाहे वहां से काबे में जा सकते हैं। ये मालिक है इनको पता है काबे में दर कितने हैं, क्या बतलाऊं। मदहे अली के मरकजों में है वर कितने हैं, इनके उनके दरवाजे पर आकर जाकर देख लो खुद ही। इनके उनके दरवाजे पर आकर जाकर देख लो खुद ही। इनके दर पर कितने हैं और उनके दर पर कितने हैं, क्या बतलाऊं। मदहे अली के मरकजों में है वर कितने हैं। तेरे अली क्या चीज है भाई, ऐसे गई और ऐसे आई। तेरे अली क्या चीज है भाई, ऐसे गई और ऐसे आई। तूफान उठ कर ढूंढ रहे हैं कांधों पे सर कितने हैं, क्या बतलाऊं। मदहे अली के मरकजों में है वर कितने हैं। तेरे अली की शोखी देखो, काट के लश्कर प्यादों का। तेरे अली की शोखी देखो, काट के लश्कर प्यादों का। सरदारों से पूछ रही है ऐसे सरवर कितने हैं, क्या बतलाऊं। मदहे अली के मरकजों में है वर कितने हैं। और दरिया कैद में और समंदर कांप रहे हैं इस डर से, मश्के सकीना ये ना कह दे लाओ समंदर कितने हैं, क्या बतलाऊं। मदहे अली के मरकजों में है वर कितने हैं, जिनसे उजाले फूट रहे हैं देखो वो घर कितने हैं, क्या बतलाऊं। मदहे अली के मरकजों में है वर कितने हैं। बर मोहम्मद व आल मोहम्मद सलावात। اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. क्या बतलाऊं मदहे अली के, मरकज व महवर कितने हैं। क्या बतलाऊं मदहे अली
اللهم صل
के,
على
मरकज व
محمد
महवर
وآل
कितने हैं।
محمد
जिनसे
اللهم
उजाले
صل
छूट
على
रहे
محمد
हैं, देखो
وآل
वो
محمد
घर कितने
اللهم صل
हैं।
على
क्या
محمد
बतलाऊं
وآل
मदहे,
محمد لا حول
لا
ولا
حول
قوة
ولا
إلا بالله العلي العظيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أستغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا الحي القيوم الرحمن الرحيم ذو الجلال والإكرام، وأتوب إليه. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء، وبقوتك التي قهرت بها كل شيء وخضع لها كل شيء وذل لها كل شيء، وبجبروتك التي غلبت بها كل شيء، وبعزتك التي لا يقوم لها شيء، وبعظمتك التي ملأت كل شيء، وبسلطانك الذي على كل شيء، وبوجهك الباقي بعد فناء كل شيء، وبأسمائك التي ملأت أركان كل شيء، وبعلمك الذي أحاط بكل شيء، وبنور وجهك الذي أضاء له كل شيء. يا نور يا قدوس، يا نور يا قدوس، يا نور يا قدوس، يا يا آخر الآخرين. اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تهتك العصام، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل النقام، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تغير النعام، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء، اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب، اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها، اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك، وأسألك بجودك أن تدنيني من قربك، وأن توزعني شكرك، وأن تلهمني ذكرك. اللهم إني أسألك سؤال خاضع متذلل خاشع، أن تسامحني وترحمني وتجعلني بقسمك راضيا قانعا وفي جميع الأحوال متواضعا. اللهم وأسألك سؤال من اشتدت فاقته وأنزل بك عند الشدائد حاجته وعظم فيما عندك رغبته، اللهم عظم سلطانك وعلى مكانك وخفي مكرك وظهر أمرك وغلب قهرك وجرت قدرتك، ولا يمكن الفرار من حكومتك. اللهم لا أجد لذنوبي غافرا ولا لقبائحي ساترا ولا لشيء من عملي القبيح الحسن مبدلا غيرك. لا إله إلا أنت، سبحانك وبحمدك ظلمت نفسي، ظلمت نفسي، ظلمت نفسي، وتجرأت بجهلي وسكنت إلى قديم ذكرك لي ومنك علي. اللهم مولاي، كم من قبيح سترته وكم من فادح من البلاء أقلته وكم من مكروه دفعته وكم من عثار وقيته وكم من مكروه دفعته وكم من ثناء جميل لست أهلا له نشرته. اللهم عظم بلائي وأفرط بي سوء حالي وقصرت بي أعمالي وقعدت بي أغلالي وحبسني عن نفعي بعد أملي وخدعتني الدنيا بغرورها ونفسي بجنايتها ومطالي. يا سيدي فأسألك بعزتك ألا يحجب عنك دعائي سوء عملي وفعالي، ولا تفضحني بخفي ما اطلعت عليه من سري، ولا تعاجلني بالعقوبة على ما عملته في خلواتي من سوء فعلي وإساءتي ودوام تفريطي وجهالتي وكثرة شهواتي وغفلتي. وكن اللهم بعزتك لي في كل الأحوال رؤوفا، وعلي في جميع الأمور عطوفا. إلهي وربي، من لي غيرك؟ أسألك كشف ضري والنظر في أمري. إلهي ومولاي، أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي، فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء، فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك، فلك الحمد علي في جميع ذلك، ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي في قضاءك وألزمني حكمك وبلاغك. وقد أتيتك يا إلهي بعد تقصيري وإسرافي على نفسي، معتذرا نادما منكسرا مستقيلا مستغفرا منيبا مقرا مذعنا معترفا، لا أجد مفرا مما كان مني ولا مفزعا نتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعة رحمتك. اللهم فاقبل عذري وارحم شدة ضري، وفكني من شد وثاقي يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني، يا رب ارحم ضعف بدني ورقة جلدي ودقة عظمي، يا من بدأ خلقي وذكري وتربيتي وبري وتغذيتي، هبني لابتداء كرمك وسالف برك بي يا إلهي وسيدي وربي. أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد من طوى علي قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك، وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضعا لربوبيتك، هيهات أنت أكرم من أن تضيع من ربيته أو تبعد من أبنيته أو تشرد من آويته أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمته. وليت شعري يا سيدي وإلهي ومولاي أتسلط النار على وجوه خرت لعظمتك ساجدة، وعلى ألسن نطقت بتوحيدك صادقة وبشكرك مادحة، وعلى قلوب اعترفت بإلهيتك محققة، وعلى ضمائر حوت من العلم بك حتى صارت خاشعة، وعلى جوارح سعت إلى أوطان تعبدك طائعة، وأشارت باستغفارك مذعنة، ما كذا الظن بك ولا أخبرنا بفضلك عنك يا كريم يا رب، وأنت تعلم ضعفي عن قليل من بلاء الدنيا وعقوباتها وما يجري فيها من المكاره على أهلها، على أن ذلك بلاء مكروه قليل مكثور، يسير بقاؤه قصير مدته، فكيف احتمالي لبلاء الآخرة وجليل وقوع المكاره فيها وهو بلاء تطول مدته ويدوم مقامه ولا يخفف عن أهله، لأنه لا يكون إلا عن غضبك وانتقامك وسخطك، وهذا ما لا تقوم له السماوات والأرض يا سيدي، فكيف لي وأنا عبدك الضعيف الذليل الحقير المسكين المستكين، يا إلهي وربي وسيدي ومولاي، لأي الأمور إليك أشكو ولما منها أضج وأبكي، لأليم العذاب وشدته أم لطول البلاء ومدته، فلئن صيرتني للعقوبات مع أعدائك وجمعت بيني وبين أهل بلائك وفرقت بيني وبين أحبائك وأوليائك، فهبني يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي وربي صبرت على عذابك، فكيف أصبر على فراقك، وهبني يا إلهي صبرت على حر نارك، فكيف أصبر عن النظر إلى كرامتك، أم كيف أسكن في النار ورجائي عفوك، فبعزتك يا سيدي ومولاي أقسم صادقا لئن تركتني ناطقا لأضجن إليك بين أهلها ضجيج الآملين، ولأصرخن إليك صراخ المستصرخين، ولأبكين عليك بكاء الفاقدين، ولأنادينك أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين، يا غاية آمال العارفين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا غياث المستغيثين، يا حبيب قلوب الصادقين ويا إله العالمين. أفتراك سبحانك يا إلهي وبحمدك تسمع فيها صوت عبد مسلم سجن فيها بمخالفته وذاق طعم عذابها بمعصيته وحبس بين أطباقها بجرمه وجريرته، وهو يضج إليك ضجيج مؤمل لرحمتك ويناديك بلسان أهل توحيدك ويتوسل إليك بربوبيتك يا مولاي، فكيف يبقى في العذاب وهو يرجو ما سلف من حلمك؟ أم كيف تؤلم النار وهو يأمل فضلك ورحمتك؟ أم كيف يحرقه لهيبها وأنت تسمع صوته وترى مكانه؟ أم كيف يشتمل عليه زفيرها وأنت تعلم ضعفها؟ أم كيف يتقلقل بين أطباقها وأنت تعلم صدقها؟ أم كيف تزجر زبانيتها وهو يناديك يا رب؟ أم كيف يرجو فضلك في عتقه منها فتترك فيها؟ هيهات، ما ذلك الظن بك؟ ولا المعروف من فضلك، ولا مشبه لما عاملت به الموحدين من برك وإحسانك، فباليمين أقطعوا لولا ما حكمت به من تعذيب جاحديك، وقضيت به من إخلاد معانديك، لجعلت النار كلها بردا وسلاما، وما كانت لأحد فيها مقرا ولا مقاما، لكنك تقدست أسماؤك، أقسمت أن تملأها من الكافرين، من الجنة والناس أجمعين، وأن تخلد فيها المعاندين، وأنت جل ثناؤك قلت مبتدئا وتطولت بالإنعام متكرما، فما أن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون. إلهي وسيدي، فأسألك بالقدرة التي قدرتها وبالقضية التي حتمتها وحكمتها وغلبت من علي أجريتها، أن تهب لي في هذه الليلة وفي هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمت، كل ذنب أذنبت، وكل قبيح أسررت، وكل جهل عملت كتمته أو أعلنته، أخفيته أو أظهرته، وكل سيئة أمرت بإثباتها الكرام الكاتبين الذين وكلتهم بحفظ ما يكون مني، وجعلتهم شهودا علي مع جوارحي، وكنت أنت الرقيب علي من ورائهم، والشاهد لما خفي عنهم، وبرحمتك أخفيت، وبفضلك سترت، وأن توفر حظي من كل خير أنزلته، أو إحسان فضلته، أو بر نشرته، أو رزق بسطته، أو ذنب تغفره، أو خطأ تستره، يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب. يا إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي، يا من بيده ناصيتي، يا عليما بضري ومسكنتي، يا خبيرا بفقري وفاقتي، يا رب 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 أسألك بحقك وقدسك وأعظم صفاتك وأسمائك أن تجعل أوقاتي من الليل والنهار بذكرك معمورا وبخدمتك موصولا وأعمالي عندك مقبولا حتى تكون أعمالي وأورادي كلها وردا واحدا وحالي في خدمتك سرمدا يا سيدي يا من علي معولي يا من إليه شكوت أحوالي يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا ربي يا ربي يا رب يا رب يا رب يا رب قوي على خدمتك جوارحي واشد على العزيمة جوانحي وهب لي الجدة في خشيتك والدوام في الاتصال بخدمتك حتى أسرح إليك في ميادين السابقين وأسرع إليك في البارزين وأشتاق إلى قربك في المشتاقين وأدنو منك دنو المخلصين وأخافك مخافة الموقنين وأجتمع في جوارك مع المؤمنين اللهم ومن أرادني بسوء فأرده ومن كادني فكيده واجعلني من أحسن عبيدك نصيبا عندك وأقربهم منزلة منك وأخصهم زلفة لديك فإنه لا ينال ذلك إلا بفضلك وجد لي بجودك وعطف علي بمجدك واحفظني برحمتك واجعل لساني بذكرك لهجا وقلبي بحبك متيما ومن علي بحسن إجابتك وأقلني عثرتي واغفر زلتي فإنك قضيت على عبادك بعبادتك وأمرتهم بدعائك وضمنت لهم الإجابة فإليك يا رب نصبت وجهي وإليك يا رب مددت يدي بعزتك استجب لي دعائي وبلغني مناي ولا تقطع من فضلك رجائي واكفني شر الجن والإنس من أعدائي يا سريع الرضا يا سريع سريع الرضا اغفر لمن لا يملك إلا الدعاء فإنك فعال لما تشاء يا من اسمه دواء وذكره شفاء وطاعته غناء ارحم من رأس ماله الرجاء وسلاحه البكاء، يا سابغ النعم، يا دافع النقم، يا نور المستوحشين في الظلام، يا عالما لا يعلم. صل على محمد وآل محمد، وافعل بنا ما أنت أهله. وصلى الله على رسوله والأئمة الميامين من آله، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وحج الفرج. I'd like to congratulate all the dear brothers and sisters on the blessed occasion of the birth of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. It is unfortunate that we are deprived of the celebrations that we would have otherwise had if it wasn't for the pandemic and the inability for us to gather and congregate and enjoy the beautiful recitations of poetry and the beautiful voices and other events and other forms of celebration that we would normally engage in. And we ask Allah by the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi that he relieves us of this pandemic and we're able to gather again, come together again, celebrate for the births of the Ahlul Bayt salamullah alayhim ajma'in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Holy Quran in regards to Amir al-Mu'mineen, that he is the nafs of the Prophet. As in the verse related to the matter and the event of Mubahala, the Holy Prophet was told to tell them that we will bring Anfusana wa Anfusakum, Nisa'ana wa Nisa'akum, Abna'ana wa Abna'akum, Anfusana wa Anfusakum, the Anfus, ourselves, those who are with the Prophet, those who he considers himself. He went himself and he took Ali ibn Abi Talib, which shows that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi identified Ali ibn Abi Talib as his nafs, as himself. On this occasion, Ali ibn Abi Talib has been given to the world. We, in this material form and in this material realm, have been blessed with the existence of Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh. Other verses of the Holy Quran describe him in many different ways in terms of his knowledge, in terms of his authority, and other ways that he's been described in the numerous verses of the Holy Quran. In the words of the Holy Prophet, when you read Dua Nudba, you find a collection of sayings of the Holy Prophet, again in regards to his knowledge, in regards to his position with the Prophet. أَنْتَ مِنِّي بِمَنْزِلَةِ هَارُونَ مِنْ مُوسَى إِلَّا أَنَّهُ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْتِ أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمُ وَعَلِيٌّ بَابُهَا فَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْمَدِينَ فَلْيَأْتِهَا مِنْ بَابِهَا. And other sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, descriptions of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the words of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, are the only ones that can really be descriptive of Ali ibn Abi Talib, be it that words are not capable and they're not able to convey the meanings that are intended. We've got to make sure that when we study the words related to the Holy Prophet, the words related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the words related to Amir al-Mu'mineen and the Ahlul Bayt in general, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, that we don't understand them in through the limitations of those words and those phrases and those sentences. Anyhow, the most complete description that can be given has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alih, in his words describing Ali ibn Abi Talib. And it is truly the case that anyone who reads the conduct, just the apparent aspect, the visible aspect of Ali ibn Abi Talib salamullah alayhi, is incapable of expressing their feelings in the way they see Ali ibn Abi Talib. As one poet put it, that I can't call you God, that will be shirk, and I can't call you creation, I'm confused as to what I should call you. This is an expression of awe, an expression of love, an expression of seeing a height, an elevation, a level of being that is simply not describable. It's not understandable. It's not something that we can find any other example that we could say, oh, we have seen this or we have seen that, and it's truly such that these words and phrases just do not describe him. Knowing that about Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh gives us a understanding regarding him that allows us to see him as someone that we try to see him at that elevation, and we try to get as close as we can. And this is only the apparent part again. The true existence of Ali ibn Abi Talib, who he was, as we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Prophet have described, and we have trouble understanding those because words have their limitations. But the apparent part that we read and we're still astonished, and it's unbelievable for a person, a human being, to have these qualities and behave in these ways. So we see him, the apparent part that we can see, is still unattainable. It's something that we can look at as a high peak that we try to get as close as we can to that great and noble and blessed and sacred soul and existence. One of the things that we need to do on the occasions that we remember Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi is to look at some of the behavior of Ali ibn Abi Talib salamullah alayhi to find guidelines for ourselves. We are in need of guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put him as our imam. An imam is someone who leads. Ali ibn Abi Talib led during his time. Ali ibn Abi Talib's leadership during that time is leading us during our time. Be it that the imam of our time, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif wa arwahuna lahu al-fida, is our imam today. However, the words and the conduct of Ali ibn Abi Talib is something that we are told by the imams, by the imam of our time, to look back at. And part of the imama of our time is to refer us to the conduct of Ali ibn Abi Talib, that conduct, that behavior, his decisions, his guidelines, his guidance, are all various forms of guidance for us, and they lead us today. So we've got to look at some of the things that Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah wa salamu alayh, does during his lifetime for us to learn that that's the right way. Now, we may fail in at times to make those decisions or to make them in the best way we can. We may fail to do so, but at least we can begin to understand what those correct decisions are. One of the areas that we find in the conduct and the behavior of Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh, during the life of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayh, is his relationship with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayh. This teaches us something we'll get to. What do I mean by that? When we look at the various figures, characters that were around the Holy Prophet, the people that were under the guidance of the Holy Prophet, people who worked under his leadership, we find various characters, various figures. They vary, they range, and I'm talking about those who followed him, those who followed him willingly. I'm not talking about those who came in at the end or after they had no other choice and they said, we believe and we submit. We accept you as the prophet of God. We accept you as authority over us. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about those who came forward willingly. Those who came forward willingly, which inshallah all of us are those who have decided to come to the religion of the Prophet, to the guidance of the Prophet, to the Quran that was delivered by the Prophet, to the Sunnah of the Prophet that was delivered by the A'immah, we can compare ourselves to these people. So these people who came willingly to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi and tried to follow his guidance, they accepted him. Although they accepted him as a Prophet of God, and they moved behind him, they followed his guidance, their obedience to the words of the Prophet, their belief in the correctness of what the Prophet is saying, their belief in that every word the Prophet says is a word divinely guided, that belief, that understanding was not there by everyone. The belief that whatever the Holy Prophet says is right, whatever anyone else said, if it conforms with the Holy Prophet's words, it's right, otherwise it's not. The understanding that if my understanding regarding a particular scenario, a condition, a circumstance that we're in terms of what it is, number one, in terms of what needs to be done, the second point regarding that, all these, we may have these understandings. Those who were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi did not see that whatever the Prophet sees of the condition and does is right. One of the difficult times for the followers of the Prophet was the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah, I hope that some of the books of history written in other languages, primarily in Arabic, but also some in maybe one or two other languages, they're translated so people can have access to reliable information regarding the details of the events of the time and life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when you read in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al-Fath, the verses related to the treaty are there. And it is very evident that there were a lot of doubts, a lot of difficulties with the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi accepting the Holy Prophet. Let me briefly run through the story. The Holy Prophet, in the form of a dream, as the chapter again tells us, sees that him along with the mu'mineen are going to perform umrah. And so that was a guidance from Allah, a command from Allah, and a promise of this happening. Both were there. So after he woke up, he gathered the believers. He said, "This is what we're going to do. We are going to go for umrah, and we will go for umrah." In other words, it's not just a decision that we will make and let's see what happens. It's a decision that we are making, and it will happen. It will occur. It will be the case that we will be in Masjid al-Haram. This was a time that the mushrikeen of Mecca, the ones who ruled over Mecca, were arch enemies of the Prophet. They have fought a few battles against the Holy Prophet, the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, the Battle of Ahzab. These are all fought, and the enmity still continues. These are people that are willing to go to any measure to end the Prophet. And the Holy Prophet says, "Let's get ready and go." And then when they say, okay, when they are convinced that, okay, we should go, they say, "Let's take weapons." The Holy Prophet says, "No, we're going to go like this. We will not be hurt, and we will do the Umrah." The resistance that existed amongst the companions of the Prophet, without going any further in the story, there was resistance, there was an element of disbelief in what the Holy Prophet saying to be true. Eventually, although the Holy Prophet telling them, "This is what I've been told," they came forward. So they took those initial steps. There was resistance, yet the discussions caused them to take those steps and move towards Mecca. They went towards Mecca in an area called Hudaybiyah. The mushrikeen, after getting news that the Muslimin are coming towards Mecca, they arrived in Hudaybiyah and they saw the Prophet and his companions moving in that direction, and they saw that they are unarmed. Different things happened there, but the point right now is that by the end of it, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi signed a treaty with the mushrikeen that they would not fight each other. They would, in a sense, a form of ceasefire. And that they will not go to Mecca right now. They will come the following year. After this incident, doubts in regards to the guidance of the Prophet, in regards to his prophethood, in regards to what he says being from Allah, being guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were there. There were doubts that started coming. Shaitan attacked the hearts of the believers in the form of doubts, because the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi had said, "Let's go, we are going to make it for Umrah." And so obviously the understanding was that we're going to go, and we're going to actually go to Masjid al-Haram. But they didn't that year. Instead of looking back, looking within, thinking that the Prophet is the messenger of God, his words are words given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the Quran says, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, who is more truthful in words than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whose words are more truthful than his? If these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the most truthful, then what he said was true. And then concluding that I have trouble understanding it. I know it's true, I just don't know what that is. I'll wait for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger to explain to me what it is. But I know, I don't have any doubt regarding what he said being true. And the thought that this didn't happen, let's pay careful attention. This was the thought. See, what was said, according to their understanding, what those words initially meant to anyone who looked at those words, is that we're going to prepare for Umrah, we're going to go unarmed, we're going to go to Masjid al-Haram. So their understanding is, okay, all this is going to happen in one go. We're moving right now, this is what's going to happen. After stopping in Hudaybiyah and signing the treaty and returning to Medina, the thought comes to mind that what was said did not happen. What was said did not happen. This means that what was said was not true. That if it's a lingering thought that maybe, maybe not, it is problematic. I'm not even talking about anyone saying, wait a second, this didn't happen, this must be untrue. That is kufr right there. Anyone who had that, is that's kufr. They have left Islam, although they might come back, and a lot of people did. Those thoughts were there. Some people went that far, and that's leaving Islam, but then they came back. And this is the average believer, someone like myself and people like me, we would have that problem. Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi did not have any doubt whatsoever in regards to what the Holy Prophet said being true. No matter what happened. No matter what happened. In the treaty, in this incident of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, this prophecy of going to Mecca and performing the Umrah, as the verse says, that will happen, and it happened the following year, and it happened on a greater scale in the conquest of Mecca, where the Holy Prophet went and performed his Umrah as well. All of that happened not in the same go, and that was not intended, although it was mentioned. And it was mentioned without mentioning that this is in the same go for a reason. Part of that reason is it was because of going towards Hudaybiyah in that way that caused them to be able to go for Umrah in the following year and caused them to be able to conquer Mecca and the Holy Prophet go for Umrah that other year. The cause was this. And therefore, yes, this is how it was. You will go. This will lead to you going to Umrah. You thought this meant this year. It meant the following year. That was not mentioned for that wisdom that was mentioned. There was nothing whatsoever that was untrue or half true regarding what was said. But the thing is, we judged those words the way we would think of our own words, and then we saw something that we understood from those words, taking it as average and normal words. We understood that to be the meaning. And then when we saw that didn't happen, we start to question, again, denying it and saying it didn't happen, it was untrue, is kufr. Even doubting, wait a second, what happened here? Was this true? Was this not true? That is weakness in Iman. Amir al-Mu'mineen did not have doubts. One instance of Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi showing that form of the example that we're looking for, this is how we need to be towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and then based on what the Prophet says, be that way towards Ali ibn Abi Talib salamullah alayhi. And based on what Ali ibn Abi Talib and the Prophet said, be that way towards Hassan ibn Ali, and then Hussein ibn Ali, and then Ali ibn Hussein, and then Muhammad ibn Ali, all the way until the Imam of our time, Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh, in the context of the conquest of Mecca, it seems this was, a letter was sent from Medina to notify the mushrikeen about the attack that the Holy Prophet is planning on Mecca after the Meccans broke the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah was a 10-year treaty and agreement. After 3 years, the mushrikeen broke that treaty. The Holy Prophet was told, they broke the treaty, you're going to not uphold your end. They are not trustworthy. They are people who have broken their pledges and their agreements. They do not abide by any rule. They're dangerous, and so you need to attack them. And this was said to be a mission that was supposed to be done in utmost secrecy, and the mushrikeen were not supposed to find out about this. A letter was sent with a female to go to Mecca and inform them. This female took that writing and rolled it up, somehow hid it in her hair. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi was notified by Jibra'il. Amir al-Mu'mineen, along with another companion of the Prophet, were sent, the two of them were sent to, and they were told who this person is. They were sent to go there, stop her, take the letter, and bring the letter back, and perhaps her as well. So she knew how dangerous this was, and that's why she had hid it in her hair. Amir al-Mu'mineen, along with the other companion, went. They stopped her, and they said, we need to search you. This is, I guess, maybe they said, this is what we're looking for, or they said that you have this. She denied it, perhaps. Some of those details, I'm not sure if they're recorded, but normally you would have something like that happening, a conversation, perhaps. Anyhow, she denied it or didn't tell them, and they searched whatever she had. They searched whatever she had, and they couldn't find it. Obviously, it's in her hair. I don't know how far they went in terms of it's two males, two men, body search. How could they? When they searched everything, and remember, paper, back then there was no paper. Writing was done in a different way. They would write on leather. They would write on other things. So how small could that have been? And how well could she have hidden it? Anyhow, after searching everything, and perhaps reaching those limitations where they can't search any further, these two companions of the Prophet react in two different ways. One of them, the one other than Ali ibn Abi Talib, says, well, we couldn't find it. Maybe there was a mistake. Maybe there was a mistake. Who? The Prophet made a mistake? That thought right there, that's the problem. That is an issue. Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wa salamuhu alayh took out his dhulfiqar, his sword, and he said, I swear to God, this is an act of treason what she had done, okay? And she would have deserved death. Ali ibn Abi Talib knew that she's not strong enough to go for that. So anyhow, this is what he presented. He said, I swear to God, I will take your life here. The Prophet said, you have this letter. You either give it to me or you're dead. And she saw she has no other choice. She gave it. No torture, no nothing. Just this firmness that stemmed from his firm belief. Not even slightly, maybe there's the slightest mistake, because this is very serious. He says, I'm willing to take your life. if she is not a criminal that is betraying all these Muslimin, causing, if she would have betrayed the Muslimin like that and caused the deaths of so many Muslimin, it would be on her. She deserves that death if she's committing that act of treason. If it's not that person though, you killed an innocent person. That's a very severe thing. Ali ibn Abi Talib is absolutely sure. Why? Did he see it with her? No. The Prophet said. The Prophet said. There is zero doubt. He said, this person, we identified this person, she confessed, that is her. There's no way on earth this letter is not with her. If it was not going to be with her when we found her, the Prophet would have told me, Ya Ali, when you get there, she might have dropped it. Ask her. No, you have it. The Prophet speaks. Every word has a reason. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. I am that certain that you had that letter. I am that certain you have it right now with you, and you are going to give it to me. Why? Because the Holy Prophet said, go get it. That means she had it, she has it. When you get there, she has. If I was not going to get there when she still carries it, the Prophet would have known, and he would have told me. He didn't. He didn't. This is the way Ali ibn Abi Talib sees the words of the Prophet. We are in need of this, brothers and sisters. We are in need of this understanding towards the Quran, first and foremost. Every little detail in the Quran is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no ifs or buts or maybe this or maybe this was for this time or that time. He would have mentioned it. If he didn't mention it, he knows everything all the way, not just to the last day of this world. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٌ. He is the creator of language, the creator of words, the creator of the Arabic language, the creator of all those words, phrases, sentences. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth and everything. Every word, letter, sentence, phrase, condition, qualifier, modifier, everything there is put there very precisely. Not one little bit more or one little bit less. If you read the verses, the understanding, we need to be as careful as we can to try to understand what is said. But not change it. Being careful with that is fine. But thinking that, well, this meaning, although the words are clear, but this meaning could not be intended. Why? Because we understand things this way. That can't be true. Well, you got to doubt your other understanding, brother or sister. Because this verse says what it says. If he wanted to imply a different meaning, convey a different meaning, he would have used different words. This is what he says. If you have other judgments, other findings as you think you do, and you think those are definite, those are correct, and this verse is conflicting with those, therefore those are correct, this verse must be wrong, you got to switch that up, I'm sorry. Switch that up. The verse is correct. That other understanding, now there's a big question mark on it. I got to correct that other understanding, not what the verse is saying. We must be like that towards the words of the Holy Prophet. Of course, as the Prophet said, anything attributed to him first needs to be checked with the verse and the verses of the Quran. If those don't conform, then that means Prophet did not say or do that. Things that conform with the Quran and the guidance in it tells us that this account is accurate. then if, again, those words, that conduct does not sound right, does not match a certain other understanding that we have outside of the Quran, outside of the sayings of the Prophet, don't question the conduct of the Prophet and how accurate, how correct, how right that is. No, question that other thing that you were certain before you read this, before you heard the Prophet said this or did this, and it was clear the Prophet did or say, he did say this, he did do that. Whatever it was that I was clear and sure of before this, there's a question mark on it now. When it doesn't, these two conflict, when there's a conflict between them. The same goes with the words of Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. The same goes with the conduct and words of Imam al-Mujtaba, Imam al-Husayn, Imam Zayn al-Abidin, all the way to the Imam of our time. This is extremely important. Extremely important. In our political lives, we need this. In our social lives, we need this. In our family life, we need this. In our spiritual life, we need this. There are guidance for us. This is one behavior of Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wa salamu alayhi towards the Prophet that we need to learn from, develop that form of understanding regarding the Quran, the sayings of the Prophet, the sayings of the Imam salamullah alayhim ajma'in. Another part of what we have received of how Ali ibn Abi Talib dealt with and acted towards the Holy Prophet, behaved towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, is his humility. We just said Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi, his words are just like the words of the Holy Prophet. They come from the same source. The guidance is the same guidance. The Prophet said, "Man kuntu mawla, fahada aliyun mawla." The Prophet said, "Ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuha, faman arada al..." Whoever wants the knowledge, "falyatiha min babuha." The door to the knowledge of the Prophet is Ali ibn Abi Talib. So whatever he says is the knowledge of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. This is clear, isn't it? This is, for us it's clear. Whoever has questions, doubts, they can resolve that. This is very clear to us. But how did Ali ibn Abi Talib behave towards the Prophet? He would sit in the presence of the Prophet as a slave. And he said, these are his words, these are his recorded words, "Ana abdun min abidi Muhammad." I am one of the slaves of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The humility of Ali ibn Abi Talib towards the Prophet is such that if we didn't know better with our wrong understandings and our wrong approach, we would actually identify him not as one of the companions of the Prophet, that we would ask, "Oh, who's this person?" So he's just one of the servants or one of the slaves of the Holy Prophet. One who did not speak in the presence of the Prophet. One who, although he had that knowledge, as he says in Khutbah Qasi'ah correctly, we have other indications telling us, he saw what the Prophet saw and he heard what the Prophet heard at the cave of Hira on that night. He heard that. Yet, he never spoke about what he knew and present that. He didn't. said, let's see what the Prophet says. Ask the Prophet. He would ask the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullahi wa salam alayhi. His tawadu' towards the Holy Prophet is something we need to learn from, brothers and sisters. Tawadu'. Tawadu' in essence means to lower oneself. We need to lower ourselves before the Quran. We need to lower ourselves before the Prophet. We need to lower ourselves before the Ahlul Bayt Salamullah Alayhim Ajma'in. One of the reasons why not only we doubt, sometimes one of the big problems that we have, we talked just earlier, the first point we mentioned was not to even have doubt regarding what the Quran and the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt say, being true and being from Allah and being guidance, being absolutely 110% true. One of the big problems we have is that some of the members of our so-called Muslim community not only doubt that, they argue against it. We have Muslimin arguing against hijab. We have Muslimin arguing against the approach Islam has towards LGBTQ. We have Muslimin arguing against Islamic government. We have Muslimin arguing against the various laws of Islam. They say, oh, this isn't right. This can't be true. They laugh at it. Like, oh. And then they say, we respect Islam. This is for back then. It was good. It was justified for back then. What gives a person the audacity to stand and say such words? Arrogance. Arrogance, same way Iblis. Iblis was in a condition where everything was visible and clear, what he did, his disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The audacity to say, no, I will not bow, I will not prostrate, because I am better. These so-called Muslimin that argue against Islamic teachings, they're so proud of their stupidity and so ignorant of their stupidity and so ignorant of their ignorance that they proudly say these things. And we still see them as Muslimin. It's because that setup that Iblis had was very evident. God directly said, prostrate. Everyone, all the angels prostrated. Iblis didn't. There's no question there. Here, we have a Quran that was revealed 1400 years ago. We have an Imam that is in ghaibah, in occultation. And so the person who says these things can still claim, unfortunately, that I am Muslim. What causes a person to come to a point where they have the audacity? That what causes that is that they don't have tawadhu. They don't lower themselves. They have this arrogance about what their findings, their thoughts are. And we hope that we all learn from Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. This abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, arwahuna fidak. Ya Mawlana. You are Yadullah. You are Aynullah. You are Qasimul Jannati wal Nar. You are the love of Fatima al-Zahra, the love of the Holy Prophet, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are we to ask for anything? It is rude for someone like me to even address Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. But he is very generous, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's asma is that, and Amir al-Mu'mineen manifests that ism and that name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although I am low, he accepts us to address him. We ask, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, please the heart of the Imam of our time from us. Please, we ask you to have our sins forgiven. إِنَّ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ ذُنُوبًا لَا يَأْتِي عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا رِضَاكُمْ. If you are pleased with us, as we find in this ziyarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with us. You forgive us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all believers, all of us and all believers worldwide, our hajat, our needs, our requests. We ask Allah especially to relieve all those who are suffering from the pandemic, from the illness, and those who are suffering, all of us who are suffering from the pandemic in indirect ways. We ask Allah to relieve us all by the right of Amir al-Mu'mineen on this night from this problem so that we can gather together. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the souls of those that have lost their lives due to the pandemic, especially our dear sister Anna. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. For the marhumeen of all mu'mineen and mu'minat, all of us and all mu'mineen and mu'minat worldwide, especially our dear sister Anna, rahimallah man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.